If you'd please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, that's where we'll be studying from this morning. It's good to be with you. I had the unfortunate experience of having the flu this week and been trying to get over that, and I hope that it doesn't affect me any this morning as I'm trying to deliver God's Word to you. Never know how my throat will respond when there's a little bit of drainage or residual stuff from sickness in there, so I hope that I'm not coughing or anything this morning. Certainly don't want to be, and we'll try to make sure that we limit that as much as possible. But I tell you, it's so bad this week that coffee didn't even taste good. So that was terrible. It actually made it taste bad, so that made the week even a little bit worse. I went to Dollar General one night to get some NyQuil. It was late. I had to have some. So I ran out to grab some, and the lady that checked me out, I said, listen, use that hand sanitizer right there on that counter, okay? Because she had some sitting there. I said, because what I have, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. So go ahead and use that hand sanitizer. And she thanked me numerous times for telling her that. But anyways, in Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to be here this morning, and I'm going to go ahead and read verses 5 through 9. And then we're going to really look at another introductory message this morning for this passage of Scripture in verses 5 through 9. So the Word of God reads like this: Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, as the one true God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Father, you're not like the idols that the nations serve, that so many serve, that are made out of silver and gold, who have mouths, but they don't speak, eyes they have, but they do not see, they have ears, but they do not hear, noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. They have throats, but they mutter no sound. Lord, we come to you as the God who is true, who is everlasting, who is strong, who is faithful, who is good and kind. And Father, I praise you this morning that we can know you through Jesus Christ, your Son. For we know, the Lord, that this is eternal life, to know the one true God and Jesus Christ, his Son. So Father, it's because of Jesus, because of this knowledge of Christ, that we come to you today and lift up our voices in song. Lord, though we are fewer this morning than normal, we still gladly lift up our voices to you in song and worship you. And Father, it's because of what you've done through Christ that we come to you through your word, needing to hear your word and be instructed by it. And I do pray, Father, that you would bless us to that end today, that whether it's those of us who are here in person or those who are gathered with us online, please use your word in our lives today and change us by it, transform us by it, anchor our souls by it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're here in Ephesians 6. Last week I asked you a question for the title of the sermon. It's, whose slave are you? Because I wanted us to think about that. Who are we serving? This week I simply have the title, A Bond Servant of Christ. because that's what we're going to be, again, emphasizing this week as an introductory to this. The apostle, in writing here to the church in Ephesus, he directly addresses the slave-master relationship. That was a real dynamic in the church in that day, in the culture in that day. It's not one that we face in our culture today. Now, someone asked me after the message, how does that have a practical application to us as a church today? And this is what we're going to look at next week, probably just next week, maybe the next 2 weeks, but we're going to see that the things that are listed here, the instruction that Paul gives in 5 through 9, are really some wonderful principles, biblical principles for the employer-employee relationship. So there is some real good application for us as a church where we can take the instruction that's found here and apply it to our lives as either an employer, employee, or as both, a boss or a worker, whichever it might be, or you may be both in some cases. So we will look into that. But today we're going to continue to look at how this idea of being a bondservant was really very widespread in the New Testament. Last week we saw how Paul addressed this in several different writings. He talked to them in Colossians about it, in 1 Timothy and in Titus. There in both of those pastoral epistles, he gave those young pastors instructions about how to teach bondservants and masters. In other words, how to teach slaves and slave owners in the context in which they were ministering. And we also saw it, let's see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that we'll be looking back at today, where, again, he talked to those who may have been called as a Christian while they were slaves, and he tells them how to live out the Christian life in that way. Then the last one that I pointed you to last week was that letter, the letter of Philemon. Do you remember that? And Philemon is a slave owner, and he was a Christian. And he had a slave who had run away, and his name was Onesimus. And the apostle was writing concerning that relationship, which was a relationship that was at enmity between Philemon and Onesimus. But because Onesimus had come to know the Lord through the preaching of the gospel by Paul, Paul wanted him to be restored to Philemon, not just as the relationship of master and slave, but much more than that, as a brother in Christ and a relationship that would last for all of eternity because of the gospel. So there's really a lot going on here. And now we're going to take this morning and look at how just this concept of being a slave impacted the Christian's relationship with Jesus. And we'll start in Philippians chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, Philippians chapter 2, we're not going to have anything up on the screen this morning. And so if you'll just have your Bible open, and let's study the Scriptures together. Philippians 2, this is the Christ hymn, and the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures is teaching the church that they are to have the mind of Christ, that we are to have the mind of Christ. And it is a mind of lowliness. It is a mind where we look out not only for our interests, but also for the interests of others, as we see in verse 3. Now in verse 5, in this popular passage, Paul writes, and he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." All right, what mind was in Christ Jesus? Verse 6. "Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." In other words, to simplify that, Jesus had no problem with being equal with God because he was equal with God. He is a co-eternal with the Father. verse 7. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a, what does it say? Bondservant. Somebody might have a different, does he might have a different word than that there? Servant, all right. Sometimes you see this same word, bondservant, translated slave, servant, bondservant. All right, so Jesus here made himself of no reputation, but taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Okay, so we see that Jesus here, the Bible tells us that he became a doulos. That's the word that you heard me mention last week, and I'll mention it several times again today, because that's the word that is behind all of these references to slave, servant, or bondservant. Doulos. And it means someone that belongs to someone else. Someone who is the property of someone else. And we saw last week that the meaning could be that their will is swallowed up in the will of their master. Their will is swallowed up in the will of their master. Now I'm going to take a little drink of water to try to help myself out here. All right. So in Philippians 2, we find this with the Christians, that they are to strive to be people like Christ, who did not esteem himself, but humbled himself. And Jesus did this by taking on the form of a bondservant. Now, does anybody think of an instance in the Gospels where Jesus literally did this? He literally took on the form of a servant. Yeah, when he washed the disciples' feet. If y'all want, turn over to John chapter 13. John 13, and this is the supper, the Last Supper, the night before Jesus would be crucified the next day, and we see it here now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he would depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wiped them with the towel with which he was girded. Now, you see the interaction that happens with Peter. I'm going to save myself a few words by not reading all of that. But you can go down to verse 12. It says, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you, what? If you do them. All right? He just says, you're not blessed if you know them, but he says, blessed are you if you do them. So the Lord Jesus took on the form of a bondservant, literally, when he washed the disciples' feet here the night before his death. And he told his disciples that they ought to go and do the same. Really what we see happening here in these next passages that we're going to look at is the church living that out. If you would turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. We're just going to do a quick survey. Philippians 1, verse 1. Jesus took on the form of a doulos. Now in Philippians 1, 1, I really should have started at Romans, so we're going to go back to that. But Philippians 1, 1, we see this. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. What are Paul and Timothy? They are what? Bondservants. If you go back to Romans 1:1, I should have had you start there. Romans 1:1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Romans 1, we see Paul, a bondservant. Philippians 1:1, we see Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. And then we can go from there to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4, this is one of those little jewels that's hidden at the end of the book of Colossians. But here we see this about Epaphras, who was a fellow worker with Paul. If Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Epaphras was a bondservant of Jesus. Now, if you would go with me to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Titus 1, 1. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were an apostle like the Apostle Paul was, maybe the first thing that I would write down about myself when writing an introduction to a letter that I'm writing someone is I would say, I am the apostle, or I am an apostle. But in these cases, we see the Apostle Paul not emphasizing that first, but he's emphasizing, first of all, that he is a bondservant of Jesus. If you go to Jude chapter 1, Jude 1, 1. This is right before you get to the book of Revelation. This is Jude, the half-brother of the Lord. What does he say about himself? Jude 1, 1. Says, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Now, if you would check out Revelation 1 with me. Revelation 1, verse 1. There, the Scripture says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. That's that same word, servants, doulos. God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant, his doulos, John. You see how much this is emphasized in the New Testament? All of these references that we've looked at today, we see that these you know, people that we hold in high regard, like Paul, like John and like Jude, who actually were used by God to write Scripture, when they refer to themselves, they are referring to themselves as bondservants of Jesus Christ. Think about ourselves. You know, a lot of times when we're talking to each other, especially, you know, when you meet somebody new, you ask them, what do you do? And that kind of indicates who they are. You know, if they're an engineer or a carpenter or a housewife or whatever it might be, an athlete, a baseball player, something like that, you know, kids talking to each other, they might identify themselves in that way. Really what we're finding here is these writers are introducing themselves as slaves of Jesus. And as Christians, this is a healthy way for us to think about ourselves. This is a healthy way for us to think about ourselves. To think about ourselves as being slaves of Christ. To being someone who is owned by Jesus. Because it reminds us of that. That truth. That we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. And therefore we're to glorify God in our bodies. I'm a slave of Jesus. It's good because it reminds us that we're not living our day to just do what we will to do, are we? But we're living out our lives in such a way as to do the will of our Master. And what we're going to find is when we look at the book of Ephesians 5 through 9, this employer-employee relationship, that does not exclude working hard, going to work and being a faithful employee. That is part of living for Jesus. That is part of living out a life as a doulos of Jesus Christ, being a faithful, hardworking employer, or owning a good business that is honest and reputable and doing right for your customers. You see, all of those things matter. And the way that we run our houses, if you're a stay-at-home mom, those things all make a difference because you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for the last part of our message, here's what we're going to do this morning. I want us to take and look at about four places in the New Testament to see what this means just from Scripture about being a slave of Christ. So the first point and the first thing that we're going to see is being a doulos of Christ means that we are a slave of righteousness. If you would look at Romans chapter 6, number one, it means that we're a slave of righteousness. And we're in Romans 6 here. We're going to read a few verses. Romans 6, starting at verse 15, and we'll read through verse 20. Or maybe a little past that. All right, so Romans chapter 6. What does it mean to be a doulos of Christ, to be a slave of Jesus, a bondservant of Christ? Well, we see in the New Testament that it means that we are a slave of righteousness. Let's pick up here at verse 15. Romans 6. Says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, there that word is, you are that one's slaves to whom, that one's slaves whom you obey. Whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. When I was reading over that, I thought, yeah, I've been serving the flu this week. That's whose slave I've been this week, because that's who I've been obeying on just about all week long. Verse 17, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness, doulos of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves unto uncleanness, I'm sorry, slaves of uncleanness, and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in things of which you are now ashamed. For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this morning I'll ask you this question in regards to this. Are you serving sin? Are you a slave of sin? Or are you a slave of righteousness? And for one who is in Christ, this passage reminds us that a doulos of Christ is one who is a slave of righteousness. Let's go to our next point. Number two is this. We serve Christ, not men. We serve Christ, not men. And I've got two passages that we're going to look up on this. If you'll go back to 1 Corinthians, or turn to 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. Just at the very end of this passage here in verse 22, is in for me, not in for you, sorry. In verse 22, he says, "For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called." All right, so that verse 23 is the key passage that I want you to focus on. "For you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men." Men are fickle. Not just men, but women too, I guess. Any human being is fickle. And if you try to serve them, then you will be blown around all over the place. But there is one who is steady and sure. He is consistent. He's always true. He's always true to himself. He's always true to who he is. It is Jesus Christ. And he, as our master, has bought us through his own blood that was shed on the cross. He died in our place to redeem us from our sins, to ransom us, the Bible says. There is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men. Who is it? It's the man Christ Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So Jesus is the one who has paid our debt. And that being true, it means he is the one to whom we must live our lives. And he is a good master to live our lives for. It doesn't mean that he will not require great things of us and even require suffering from us. But Christ has called us to follow him. And that's something we will never regret. So we follow Christ. We see in Galatians as well. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. It's along this same line. Because the Galatians had fallen into this following other men, following other people, following another gospel besides the true gospel of Christ. And here's what the apostle writes to them in Galatians 1, verse 10. He says, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Religiously speaking, these Jews were trying to please certain Judaizers, certain people who wanted them to do certain things in order to be right with God. And Paul is saying, I don't do that anymore. And if I do seek to please men, then I'm no longer a bondservant of Jesus because I am under the obedience of someone else. And that means I am now their slave. So the second thing that we see is that to be a doulos of Christ means that we are a slave of righteousness. The second thing is we see that it means to serve Christ and not man. And now the third is this. It means that we serve all men. Well, that's kind of backwards, isn't it? You just said we don't serve men, we serve Christ. And now I'm telling you, number three, that we serve all men. That's what being a servant of Christ means. It means that we serve others just like Christ served others. Now, if you would look in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. You know, Jesus said that he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for all, Mark chapter 10, verse 45. So if we're going to be like Jesus, we're going to be people who are serving others because Christ served others. He served others sacrificially. And that's part of being a slave of Christ. Now see it here in 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 19, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant of all to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the what? For the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. So to serve Christ as a doulos of Christ means inevitably that we are a person who seeks to serve all men. And then the last one is this. We serve the church for Jesus' sake. And we can find this in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5. The four things that we've seen here about a doulos of Christ in the New Testament is that, number one, they are a slave of righteousness. Number two, they serve Christ, not man. Number three, they serve all men for Jesus' sake or for the gospel's sake. And now number four, they serve the church for Jesus' sake. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Let's see if I can find it here. So in verse 3, he says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your bond servants, for Jesus' sake. So Paul here, in writing to the Corinthians, said to them that he didn't preach himself, or they didn't preach themselves. I recently had an opportunity to read a book by Alistair Begg, a little preaching book. It's a great book. He starts it off in sermon preparation, saying to think yourself empty. In other words, when you're preparing for a sermon, you think everything that you know about that passage out. You write it down. Number two, he said you read yourself full. So after you've thought yourself empty and put everything you know out there, then you read and study as much as you can on that passage. So you read yourself full. The third thing he said to do was to write yourself clear. In other words, you write yourself a clear outline of the passage and how you want to declare that. And then number four, he said, pray yourself hot. So So then you go to the Lord in prayer, praying in preparation for preaching or teaching that passage. And then the fifth thing that he said that you do is that you be yourself, but do not preach yourself. And that's what Paul was doing here when he was preaching for the Corinthians and ministering to the Corinthians. He was preaching Christ crucified, risen again on the third day as the hope of eternal life. And why did he do that? He did it for the sake of the church. He did it for them and to minister to them as a bondservant to them. But it was a bondservant for Jesus' sake. All that he did in ministering and preaching and for the church was for the sake of Jesus. So he had a real impact on other people in serving them, but he did all that he did ultimately for the sake of Jesus Christ. And I hope that we'll be reminded of that. Whether you're a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, whether you are an employer or an employee, whether you're a manager, a boss, an owner, whether you serve in some lowly position, Jesus is calling all of us to view our lives as slaves. Not slaves of men, but slaves of Christ who serve men for the sake of the gospel. All right, that's all I have for us this morning. Let's pray to the Lord together. Father, I sure need to hear this today. And Father, I sure need to be able to apply this to my life today to serve everybody that I have relationships with better, to serve everybody more like Christ. I need to remember who I am. And Father, I pray that all of us would be receive this reminder today from your word, because this is really hard for us to conceptualize as Americans who pride ourselves in being people who have our freedom, who live in a free nation, and we don't want anybody messing with that freedom. Lord, I pray that we can just be able to view our lives biblically, and God, to live out as freedmen, but as slaves of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that the gospel saves and delivers us from our sin so that we no longer have to be in bondage to that, but that we can be in bondage to righteousness. And I just pray today, Lord, that anybody who hasn't believed on Jesus Christ, who gave his life to save us, Father, I pray that maybe today they'll see that they need a master different than the one that they have now, a master of sin, death, and the devil. And, Father, that they'll see that Jesus is a worthy master, worthy of our service, worthy of our lives. And, God, I pray that maybe today people will, someone here would turn to Jesus and believe in him, the one who gave his life to ransom them from their sins. So, Father, I pray these things today in the name of Jesus. Amen.